Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so truly blessed that you have decided to join us here today to worship our living and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get started with the services, we just like to start off with a couple of announcements. So if you'd like to check out the back of your brochure here, and it tells us right on the back. We do have people who might be interested in getting baptized or have any questions about baptism. We want to make sure that you see Pastor Max. We are talking about having some baptisms coming up very soon. So if that is in your agenda, your desire, please see him soon. Got questions out about the Bible? Do you have any topics concerning the Bible? You want to learn more? Well, Pastor Max is going to be starting a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. So if you really want to get into the Word deep, and come out and join us on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. July 19th from 12 p.m. to 4, we've got our Fiesta, the music, food, and kids games at Hayes Memorial United Methodist Church. Some of our brothers and sisters of Christ celebrating the Lord out in Fremont, so be sure to join them if you're available. And we do have our 100-year anniversary coming up here. We'll be celebrating that. That's on Saturday, August 15th. And we do have quite a few openings and availabilities for those of you wanting to be an active part of this particular ministry. I'm trying to think. Is it Charlene, right? We're going. Yes. So see Charlene, and she will definitely find some place to put you. Like a dunking booth, right? We need dunking booth people. Hold that thought. Okay, so if you'll please now center your hearts and minds as we begin our worship, join me in an opening prayer as we begin to worship our Lord. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you who calls us to prayer, who lends your face to all who seeks you, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us here today, Father. Deliver us from a wandering mind, a coldness of heart, or a wrongful desire. Place deep in us, Father, a steadfast love and devotion, that all that we do here, we may love you with all of our beings, and you will find to be truly acceptable. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, turn to your neighbor and say, God won't let me down.
Save a wretch like me.
what an awesome, mighty God we serve. Not only can we have victory over anything, we can take anything to Him and lay it down to Him. And He is there to take care of every single thing. So let's lay it down to Him, every single thing that we carry with us.
Come down to the river. Come and let yourself in. Make good on a promise to never hurt again. If you're lost and lonely and you're broken down, bring all of your troubles. Come lay on down. Come lay on down. Come lay on down. Come down to the
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, there isn't anything that you won't do for us. There isn't anything you don't want to do for us. All we ever have to do is ask. Allow us, Father, to know because you live, because Jesus died on the cross for us, we have a bright future. There is no past. There's just a future in you. Allow us to have faith to step out with that future, Lord. Father, because he lives, what a beautiful thing. We thank you for the fact that Jesus did come and die for our sins, that we may have that bright future. Let us not carry anything with us. Father, we ask a special blessing over this service today, and all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to He will unfold it. just because he lives.
As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for dying on that cross for us, Jesus, Lord. Father in heaven, we also thank you for sending your only son to die on that cross, that we may have a future. Because he lives, it gives us an opportunity to be able to have a bright future, not worry about a past, but put everything into your hands, Lord. Father, in all things, we ask a special blessing over this service and things and everything. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. At this time, Children's Church is now dismissed, so I invite the ages K through 5th grade to line up at the door. This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. You can follow along with me in the Pew Bibles on page 1529. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the word of God. Will the ushers please come forward to receive the offering?
Hold my hand.
Well, today we have another special announcement or a special message. It is so exciting to see the growth, to see the call being answered, to know that our family is truly being touched by the Holy Spirit to become true leaders in the community. Mike Holcomb, one of our very own here, is going to college right now, getting prepared for ministry work, leadership and ministry, and he will be giving our message for us today. So will you please all have a warm heart and opening for Mr. Mike.
Thank you so much, Ray. So awesome to be here today, I tell you. You know, a lot of times I just look around and think all the wonderful people that are here and how blessed we are as a church to be able to be here and have the friends. Not only that, we have an awesome God. And sometimes I go into Bible college is a lot different than going to regular college. It's so much more fun because you get to learn about God's word. You know what I mean? But my dad used to say the answers to life are in this Bible. And some of you knew William Holcomb. But if you think about it, when you're going through a trial, this is really where it's at. You know, don't forget to turn to this and read. But today I really want to talk about some things. You heard about God won't let you down. God's not going to let you down on anything. He talks about our past failures. He talks about our future. And he talks about having faith and believing in him. And having faith is really believing in things not yet seen. You know, things that, believing that God lived and he died for us. So let's give an example of that. Anybody have some money I could borrow, like a dollar bill or something that I could have?
Give it back. You said borrow.
Well, you don't have faith. I'm just kidding you.
Just one?
I'll take whatever you have. Just one's fine. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. No, a really simple exercise in having faith is if you take a look at this dollar bill, and you've seen this dollar bill for a long time, and you think about this dollar bill, you said, okay, well, I know if I look at this dollar bill that I'm going to be able to buy something with it. What happens if I folded it in half, and I put it in my hand, and I was holding it up? Would you believe that the other half was still there, or would you believe it disappeared? Now, why do you believe it's still there? Because you've known, you've seen probably throughout your life that if I open the dollar bill up, that it's still going to be there. Well, sometimes in life, we forget, and I'm going to give this back. Thank you very much. Too bad it wasn't 100. Oops, Lord, forgive me. But if we take a look at that, sometimes we forget that having faith means you really got to step out. You really got to believe that God's going to do that. So there was a verse that was read earlier. If you remember the parable about the rich man entering heaven in Matthew verse 19, verse 26. I'm going to read it again. And today, as I go through stuff, it's exciting because there's a lot of verses in here. So you don't just have to listen to me. You can get to listen to what God says. Isn't that awesome? Because God says stuff, not just Mike. Okay, or Kyle. No, Mike. All right, Mike. I have a twin brother, those that don't know him, and his name's Kyle. So that's where we're at with that. It was also interesting. I do want to bring this up. We had taken a trip down to Kentucky and Tennessee. And I grew up with a mom from West Virginia. She's sitting right there, and a sister. And when I was younger, my mom had a little bit of a southern accent, so it was like, y'all, come in here. Y'all do this. Well, you know, anybody from down south? All right, awesome. You guys are like family. Thank you. Oh, you're all family. Sorry. But it was awesome because I went down there, and the first thing I noticed was a waitress. She'd come, and she goes, how y'all doing? I thought, wow, I'm back home. I'm back home. I can talk that way again. But if I say stuff like y'all, or I say something that you're not sure about, briars or something like that, you just understand this is from my southern root, okay? And I have to blame my mom for that. But it's awesome, though. I was down there. They say the southern can take a northern boy and have him talking straight in just a week, okay? That's where we're at. Okay, if we take a look at Matthew verse 19, verse 20, chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He didn't say, well, some things are possible. What did he say? He said, all things are possible. So you need to remember that as you're going through trials, that God says all things are possible. We serve such an awesome God. He's such an awesome God. And as I read the word, and it's just coming alive to me, and I think about the stories in the Bible, I just know that he's there. I know that he has the answer to everything. He has a future for you, a bright future. He doesn't want you to worry about your past. He wants you to have faith that he's taking care of every single thing. He wants you to be able to enjoy this life. How much longer do we have in life? None of us know, right? Because none of us know our day. But I do know this, that if we have a God, we have a long time future. And we do have a God, and we have a future. So that's so awesome. So if sometimes, you know, you go through life and people say, okay, well, have faith, you know, that if you make a past mistake, some of us, including myself, I like to dwell on my past mistakes instead of giving them to God. I don't know why I do that. I'm just like, you know, I carry them around in the backpack. I put all my mistakes back here, and I carry them around with me every single day. Instead of taking that backpack off and laying it down here and taking them up and actually putting them on the altar, knowing that God's taking care of every single thing, I call it unpacking your bags, because we need to unpack our bags, because God does not want us to carry anything with us. You don't have to take my word for it, because God knows you personally. He knows everything about you. Isn't that cool? He even knows every little single hair on your head. So what we have to do is have faith and believe that he's going to take care of it all, everything. So you don't just have to take my word from it, because there's so many verses in the Bible which are cool. If we start looking at John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, and sometimes people have done some really, you say, Mike, you don't understand. So-and-so's done this to me, or this has happened, or I've made this mistake and I don't really feel like telling anybody about it. I've carried it with me forever. Or I have all this in my life that I just don't think you understand. Or this, sometimes there are some really terrible things that have happened where we lost a family member or something that we just don't understand what happened. But we have to remember, we live in a fallen world. You know, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, unfortunately, sometimes bad things just happen. But we can know that God is going to see you through it. You know, that he's there with you, and you have a family, a church, and other people that will see you through. And when things bad happen, because, I haven't lost I lost my father, but a really close member, especially when you go through that, you know, like a son or a daughter or anything, God forbid. But you know, when you go through those trials, it's very difficult. And it's hard to get past sometimes. But you know that you have an awesome God that's going to take care of you. You're never, ever alone. And also, when we make those mistakes and we ask for that forgiveness, that God's able and willing to forgive us, we just have to let it go to him. It was so awesome. I was talking to Carol one day, and Carol gave me a book by Sarah Young that talks about all the little different scriptures in there that kind of goes through different aspects of life. And it was so awesome, Carol. I'm going to put her on the spot there. But that book really, really helped me. Because if you read God's word and you put it in perspective, you know that God is there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at it this way. We make a mistake. We have some bad things happen in our lives. Let's thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to be where we're at today. That if we did make a mistake, that we're able to learn from it. And that we're able to be better people. Most people wouldn't go back and do the same mistake again. I'm guessing not. Or they haven't truly forgiven themselves, or they haven't truly repented, I should say. But let's take a look at this word of God. Romans 8, verse 1 through 1 and 2. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, we're free. We're free. We're free from that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I didn't say you get younger, because I'm getting older. I'm 45 now. I know. I'm getting there. 45. But we are a new creature. We ask for forgiveness and we move on. So that's really awesome. New creature. Psalms 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. He doesn't say he leaves you in your troubles and your heart breaks and everything. What's he say? I deliver you out of your troubles.
I deliver you out of your troubles. Remember that other half of the dollar bill that was folded away? You had faith that that was there? Well, you have faith that God's going to deliver you out of your troubles. He's going to do it. You just got to have faith. And faith is believing in things not yet seen. So Mark 11, verse 25, and I'm just reading God's word here, okay? I'm just reading what God says here. And when you stand praying, forgive that you may ought, if you have ought against any. So if you have anything, anybody else has anything against you or you have anything against them, that your Father may also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. So this is a neat thing about forgiveness. If someone's really hurt you, guess what? You have the power now. You can choose to forgive them if you choose to do that. If you don't want to, then you can hold on to that anger, that bitterness and everything. But the best thing to do is let it go because you're in control. They're no longer in control of your life. And the Bible says that if you forgive, guess what? Our Heavenly Father is going to forgive us for everything we've done. So isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, 1 John 1, verse 19. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only am I going to be a new creature, I'm going to be clean. I'm going to be clean. And I tell you, yesterday I was working outside and I didn't look too good. I look pretty good today. But you know, you're working outside like that. Whew, tell you what, it doesn't help that, having faith. You know, we're talking about our future and we're talking about having faith. Our future, we talk about the past. So God wants you to take that past. He wants you to ask for forgiveness and just toss it away, okay? Because as far as the east is from the west, everything is done. Okay, now he wants you to have a bright future. And he wants you to have faith that that's happening. Okay, so let's talk about our future plans here. Because he knows our future. He knows what's best for us. Because if he doesn't know our future, then I don't think that things in life happen. There's a lot of things in life that happen that we know that he knows our future. Because I'll give you an example. I was at work, and you know, sometimes you're at work and you have to do all this compliance stuff. I'm in the banking industry, so you have to go through all this compliance stuff. You have to make sure it's all correct. So you know all those little disclosures you get all the time? You're like, I was joking one day, and I said, would you like to take your box of disclosures with you? Because they're like, you know, it's like you're carrying this out. But all the disclosures and stuff, they all relate to compliance-related stuff. So if you start seeing compliance-related stuff, that has to be done. So guess what? Somebody checks to make sure you're doing all that. And as you go through all that, you have to make sure that everything's lined up, that everything's working correct. And all of your employees that work underneath you, because I manage it, they all have to do their job too. So they once in a while they'll send an auditor in just to make sure you're doing your job. Okay, which is awesome. Not really, but it's awesome. Am I lying? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. But anyway, so this auditor shows up, which they never tell you when they come, which is fine. It shows up, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, do we have all the compliance stuff? Do we have all of our alarm logs and all this stuff all done correctly, you know, because they look at everything. Well, here I am. I'm taking it on myself, and what do I start doing just like a lot of us probably do? I start thinking, maybe. I wonder if we did that. I wonder if we did this. Oh, I'm worried, right? And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, what am I doing? So I just said a little prayer to the Lord. So I said, Lord, help me today. Help me with this audit. And I'm like pacing a little bit now. I'm pacing back and forth a little bit. You know, I'm in my office thinking, okay, well, I don't have to worry because, you know, we've been doing everything right. You know, so we're probably gonna pass this audit. And I'm thinking, do I have faith we're going to pass this audit? Do I have faith that we're going to pass this audit? I walk out through the lobby. And guess what's standing there? A guy with a t-shirt on that I just happened to notice. He turns around and says, with God, all things are possible. I thought, yes, woo, yes, yes. So when he turned around, I went up to the ladies and I said, we're going to pass our audit. And none of them are religious in my particular branch. None of them are religious. Not a single one that I know of attends church, which I've been trying to be a light, of course. But you're not really supposed to talk about religion at work, but I do all the time. I'll probably get fired for it. Well, anyway, so I'm talking. I go up and I said, oh, we're going to pass our audit. We're going to do it. We're going to pass this audit. And she's like, how do you know that? I said, I know because I got a message. She said, what message you get? And I pointed at the guy's shirt. She goes, whatever. I said, no, really, we're going to pass. Guess what? It was a great testimony because we passed it. It was an awesome. So I got a call from my boss that said, hey, Mike, you passed your audit. You guys did a great job. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. You know, so he knows our future. He knows when we're in control. And he sends little messages. I love the little message with the shirt. Okay, and it's not ironic that this message today is, you know what I mean? There's no coincidences. Amen to that. Isn't that true? Okay, so he knows our future. Now listen to God's word again. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. And my sister Charlie and I were talking, and I was telling, God's holding your right hand this week. You know, because I'm withholding you with your right hand of righteousness. How awesome is that? Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He goes before you. So if he goes before you, why are you fearing about anything? You know what I mean? So, and then he expects us to have faith. I'm working on the barn roof. I'm gonna talk a lot. I put a battery in there so I wouldn't go over. Because that clock wasn't working. But I was working on this barn roof. It was an old barn built in 1865. It's three stories high when you get to the top. If you ever seen one of those old barns, you know how it's what it's like. So I'm up there, my son's with me, Chris is with me, and I throw a rope over the other side and I tie it, and I have it tied around my waist, so that way if I do fall off the barn, I have God watching out for me. Oh no, the rope, God's watching out for me too, right? So I'm climbing this, and I'm pulling the old sheet metal off and replacing the boards that are bad, and I'm putting new ones, so I'm doing away with the old, I'm getting rid of the past, I'm putting the future on. Well, the problem with the future is that I trip over a cord I had. And all of a sudden, I go flat first down on the tin, and I slid down the barn roof face first down to the barn like this. I never had tin burn in my knees before. Talk about rug burn. But you know what caught me? I like to believe God helped me that day. But I also believe that that rope helped me. So I believe that planning, if you think about the rope, okay, this is where it's at. If you read this word, this is like a rope for life that's going to help you. So if you start going through it. And Chris, thank you for helping me. He's like, yeah, make sure. Okay, and then we're talking about faith, okay? So I can't say I shouldn't admit this, but it's the truth. But I'm falling down that barn roof. I'm not sure what I was thinking. I was just thinking about grabbing hold of a rope or something. I'm not saying I didn't let go and say, well, I have faith that the Lord's going to catch me when I'm falling off this barn roof. But I have faith that rope is going to catch me. And I knew that even if I did go, that I was ready to go. You know, I'm ready to go home. Amen to that. But Psalms 9, chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, the Lord also will be refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and they will know thy name and put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. What do you say? Put their trust in thee. So we're going back to faith. I'm just reading God's word here. There's nothing new. I haven't made up anything new. This is just God's word, which is awesome. All right, so how do we do this? I'm going to go into a story in the Bible, and I'll try not to make this long, but there's such an awesome story in the Bible. If you remember three Israelites and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm just going to back it up a little bit, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar, that's a long name. Maybe I'll just call him King Neb for short. I don't think if he was around, he would appreciate that. I'd probably be thrown in the fiery furnace. But King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, they had taken over Israel, so they had occupied Israel. So he decreed that, hey, everyone's going to bow down to this golden image. There's a lot of talk about what that golden image was. But we do know that it was a golden image that they wanted everyone to bow down to. So basically, we're going to start the story off in Daniel 3, verse 8. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music. Just a side note, I'm not planning on adding any of those into worship, just so you know. Just wanted to throw that out there. They shall fall down and worship the golden image, okay? And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. So here's some people coming up, and this happens to us all the time. I call it being thrown underneath the bus. You've heard that. You know, someone's trying to throw someone underneath the bus. So here they come. So this story is like coming alive to me, so I'm sorry if I get passionate. It's just like, wow, it's so awesome. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, paid no attention to you. They do not serve your gods and worship the golden image that you have set up. If you're telling a king that, what's he going to say? I'm really, what? What do you mean? I've appointed these people and they're not listening to me? Okay, so of course he's going to get angry. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, so he got really angry, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship it, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" So what's he's saying, who is the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? So, you know, he's putting himself way, way up there. I have to love this because I can imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just standing there. Just wait and see. All right. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. No need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." So they had complete faith to tell the king that I'm not going to worship any image that you have. How awesome is that? Because there's many times that we're going to be tested in life, and we need to be able to have the strength and the faith, knowing that God's going to take care of us, and be able to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I know is right." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with anger, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he's no longer, you know, in their good graces with him. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. So if I put my hand above here, that gets kind of high. Do you know an oven's what, 350, 450? I'm not a cook, so 450 degrees, 350, something like that, 400. Do you know a brick kiln is 1,300 degrees? Brick kiln to make bricks, they're about 1,000 to 1,300 from the research I've done. Do you know how hot they believe this furnace was? Our ovens are 350 degrees. This furnace, they believe, was 9,100 degrees. You know how hot that is? You couldn't even get near that thing. So just think about that. So he's filled with anger. His face changed against him. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. So there they are. Okay? They're thrown in. What's interesting about them being thrown in, because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery furnace. So they fell bound into the fiery furnace. 9,100 degrees is an estimate. That's what I could figure out. 9,100 degrees. So imagine how hot that is. And this is so awesome. What an awesome God we serve. I mean, I'm excited about it because, you know, we just think about some of these things we go through. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste. He's looking at this thing. He's looking. He's like, "Wait a minute. Something's going on. I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on here. What's going on here?" He said to this, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" The answer said to the king, "True, O king," he said, "but I see 4. Isn't that awesome? I see 4. So who's the 4th? That's so awesome. I see 4 people there. And they answered and said, "The appearance of the 4th is like the son of the gods." And this is so cool because I can imagine King Nebuchadnezzar standing there and he's like, "Okay, guys." I can imagine Shadrach and Meshach and they're inside going, "Hey, it's kind of cool in here. All right, man. Come on in. It's all right, man. It's really good." And I can imagine the king saying, "Boy, it's going to make me look bad. I really look bad. I have all the governors here at the Everybody else is here, two of my, some of my men died that took them up there, and here they are. There's four people in there. There's four? I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. Then Nebuchadnezzar had to come, and he says, he came near the door into the fiery furnace. Of course, he can't go too close because it's too hot. And he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, will you come out here? Come out here. I can imagine saying, please come out. Yeah. Don't make me look bad. You've already made me look bad. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, and the governors. These are basically all government officials that are different in that time. And the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And if you've ever been around a fire, there was no smell of fire at all on them. Okay, so if you've ever been even around a fire, even a campfire, don't you pick up that smell of the fire? There was nothing. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered the servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree. Yes. See what happens? They're being faithful to God. Is he not taking care of them? Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Yes. How awesome is that? Yes. Yeah, he did that. He promoted. Our God is an awesome God. We serve such an awesome God. He's not going to let you down. So remember, when you have faith and you step out. So I'm going to give you three simple things to just take away. If you have a pen, you're welcome to write them down. If you don't want to, it's totally up to you. God's not going to let me down. Just remember these three simple steps. When you get down and you have negative thoughts, you need to lean on him with everything. Just lean on him totally. Sometimes I go throughout the day and I feel like I'm just praying all day to God. Sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to pray. You have to outreach to other people that are similar, you know, in faith to you, like the church here, the folks of the church here. And Psalms 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. How awesome is that? And remember, I can do Philippians 4, verse 13. I'm just reading God's word here. 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So remember that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Almost finished up here. Step number two, go to him with any future plans. Make sure they align with his plan, that your plan aligns with his plan. Don't try to do things on your own. Pray and ask God to open or close doors, which is really awesome. Because Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33 says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear or be clothed? For your heavenly Father knows what you need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added upon you. So if you just seek God first, all the rest is going to be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do not lean on thine own understanding, which is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. He shall direct your paths. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts I have, and I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he wants us to have peace. He wants us to let go of our past. He wants us to think forward with our future and have faith that he's going to take care of everything. And step number three, give it completely to him and don't try to fix things yourself. Have complete faith. Just like Jerry believed I was going to give him back his dollar. Right, Jerry? Have complete faith that you're going to have everything taken care of. So Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So anybody want to know what God has in store for them? I know I do. Just keep praying, keep looking, keep reading, keep seeking, because God is there for you. He wants a bright, bright future for you. He doesn't want you to hold on to anything in the past. He wants you to clear it all out of your mind and let it go. He wants you to look at the future, and he wants you to have faith that he's taking care of everything. The enemy likes to attack you. He'll throw darts at you all day long, and he'll want to remind you of your past failures. Don't allow him to do that. Just say, I trust in God that that's all been taken care of. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, one of my very favorite things, and I'm closing on this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. How awesome is that? What an awesome God we serve, one that won't let you down. Awesome God that we serve. We go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you for what you've done in the lives of the people that are here, Lord. Father, we do have a bright future, and it's so easy to hold on to the past. It's so easy to be reminded of things that have hurt us, failures that we've had, people that have hurt us, and just sometimes life circumstances that just don't go the way that we would expect them to go. Lord, let us remember to just completely and totally trust in you and know that even when we are down and out, that if we pray and we completely trust in you, that you're going to hold our right hand. You're going to see us through it, through the times of troubles. Your word says it just as we read many verses today. Lord, allow us to focus on our future. Our future with you, Lord. A bright, bright future that we have with you. Let us have faith and just step out knowing that you're taking care of everything. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that faith. That they knew that you were going to be there with them. That there was no doubt, even when the furnace was about 9,100 degrees. We may feel that sometimes our furnace is 9,100 degrees and some of the things we're going through. But just know that you're there with us. That you're going to wrap your arms around us and you're going to take care of every single need. Lord, if there's anybody here that needs anything from you today, allow them to know that these altars are open and that there's no chains that can bound us, Lord. There's nothing but a very, very bright future. Lord, allow us to give everything to you. In all things, we give you praise and we ask a special blessing over this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. as we bow our heads one more time, Lord, Father, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Allow us to receive your message today, Lord, and allow us to take it out and change some of the things that we may be dealing with, Lord. But Father, if nothing else, Lord, just let us know that we can rely on you and that we're there, you're there with us no matter what we go through. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Thank you very much.